you wanted to talk about free software and political movements.
Free software doesn't fit into the usual political spectrum because it combines aspects of capitalism, socialism, and anarchism. So it doesn't belong to any one of them. The socialist aspect is that we can fund it, for instance, with governments and use it in government projects, and that we are working together in projects for the general good. The capitalist aspect is that people are free to do work on free software. Lots of people make a living that way, and in the process they also contribute to the community. So, for instance, if he's running a business and he uses free software and he thinks he'll make more money if the program is changed, he could look for a programmer to pay to make the change for him, like it could be me. I've done that work like that, although that was back in the 1980s, changing free software to the needs of particular clients. And I told them in advance, when this is done, I'm going to put it into the release and everyone's going to get it. And they thought that was good, so they said they'd pay me to do that. But sometimes the changes are very specific and you just give them to the one client who paid for them. They're not worth putting in. And then there are aspects which are anarchist. Basically, nobody has power over anybody. You can do whatever you want with the code of any program. You can run the version you want. You can distribute it to others if you want. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. So combining these sometimes it is hard to grasp for people who are used to thinking rigidly in terms of particular political movements that they're familiar with. And it doesn't extend directly to all the other issues of life. As you can see, I have political opinions about other issues that relate in some way to my views about free software. But the free software idea itself doesn't extend to all of life. These different aspects of capitalism, socialism, fit together because of the nature of software, that people are working together to make useful things which everyone can then copy and which people have to be free to change.
So software is a specific context. Maybe another context should use another kind of model. I don't know. We were talking about art.
Well, I wouldn't call it a model. It's a different ethical conclusion about the rights people deserve. And yes, different questions can have different answers. Even if they're similar in their form, the right answer might be different. Now, technical people are very eager to generalize. If they see that two questions have a parallel form, they want to answer them with the same answer. And that is not wise, because even though the form of the questions is the same, they bring in various factors that affect the answer. And in one question, factor A may be very big, and in the other question, factor A may be small, and factor D may be very big. And so the best answer could be totally different.
So we need to think to a good question before answering.
We need to think about each case. We shouldn't rush to generalize. So, for instance, I didn't generalize from software to art. Well, it was a possibility to generalize the same conclusion from software to art, but rather than just rush to generalize, I asked, what are the factors here in regard to art? And what conclusions do they apply? Do the same reasons that led me to reach this conclusion for software lead me to this conclusion for art? And I decided that they don't. However, ultimately, I decided that for reference works and educational works, they do. So I believe those works must be free.
And so is there anything really general behind all of this? Sometimes we talk about hacker ethics or the hacker's ethical view that maybe it's...
Being a hacker is not a matter of having particular ethical views. It's a matter of enjoying a certain kind of activity, namely playful cleverness. A hack is an instance of playful cleverness. You have a challenge, could be any kind of challenge, and you have fun addressing that challenge in a clever way and perhaps amazing your friends that you were able to do it so well. Now, sometimes the challenge could be a real practical one. Sometimes it's purely artificial, like can you make a shorter program to do a certain task? Suppose somebody else was able to do it in 5 instructions. If you can find a 4 instruction program to do that, that's a hack. It'll impress people with your cleverness, and it's fun.
I see. I'm not a good programmer, but sometimes I used to work on it, and I think that this is my particular pleasure. It's when I can make it in a more interesting way, at least for me. Anyway. Okay. For me, it's all...